How many's learning to turn in? Are you learning to turn in? Yes. We are learning to tune in to the voice of God for our life. How many of this is a very, very important thing in our life that we learn to hear God's voice? Last week, we learned this thought that as we kicked off this new series on tuning in, how to hear God's voice, we learned that we are a sheep. How many thought of yourself as a sheep this week? The shepherd is calling, right? And the sheep hear his voice. We know that God is talking to you and I today. We come against that theology, that false theology out there that says the longer does God speak. There's a false theology out there that says that everything God wanted to say was in the Bible and that he no longer wants to speak today. And that's so false. And we even talked about it last week and we'll even reference it this week. We'll find scripture which totally is against that, where Jesus says, I am talking. The shepherd is calling out his voice to his sheep and they hear and they respond. They know his voice. And so today we know God is calling to us. God is talking to us. And we are sheep who are listening to the shepherd's voice. Now today I want to talk to you about the thought that I am a friend of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a friend of God. Are you? Do you realize you are a friend of God? You say, I'm not a friend of God. Well, if you're not a friend of God, today I'm going to tell you, you're in the right spot. Because you're going to have an opportunity today to become a friend of God. Now today I know this one thing, that we are called to be friends of God. Let me show you some scripture that backs us up today. Before I do that, I'm going to tell you this one thing. Let me ask you this question. If you had a friend that called you today and said, hey, I'm stuck at home, I'm lonely, I can't get out of the house. Now, you can insert your reason why they can't leave the house. Maybe they're sick. Maybe the doctor's ordered them to stay home. Maybe they're on house arrest and they messed up the thing. But whatever it is today, let's say you had a friend who was stuck at home and could not get out. And they said, I'm lonely. I'm bored. Can you please bring me some books to read? And we had two friends, and one friend went out and bought the books and brought them off and put them at his doorstep and called him, hey, buddy, I just left some books at your door, some brand new books. Enjoy reading them. And then we had another friend who went out and bought the books but came and knocked on the door and brought them in and gave him the books and sit down with him and talked to him and said, hey, let's have dinner. We stayed and shared lunch together and shared a time of fellowship and talked. And, you know, how many know that both friends fulfilled what was asked of them, wasn't it? And how many, one friend was really a lot closer, wasn't it? One friend went beyond what was just asked of him and did what he knew in his heart was the right thing to do. He had a friend who was lonely and needing fellowship. It wasn't just that he wanted the books to keep him entertained. He was wanting somebody to talk to him. He was wanting somebody to fellowship with him. And so even though both fulfilled what was asked of them, one went beyond that and to developing that relationship and take that relationship to a different level. See, I think that's the way it is with you and I, that we have people, we have Christians who are doing what they're asked many times, but they're not going beyond that to develop the relationship that God wants with them. That God has developed a relationship, and he's called a relationship for you and I to be a part of. Let's read the scripture in John 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus said this, no longer do I call you servants, because a master, what? Does not know what? A servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has called you a friend. God has called you a friend. God has called you a friend today. Jesus came to bring communication between us and the Father. Jesus came to bring communication between us and the Father. Let me tell you this. Our motives are different than God's motives for communication. Do you know that? Our motives are different than God's motives for communication with the Father. Our motive is for direction. God's motive is for relationship. Think about that. Our motives for communication with God is for direction. God's motive is for a relationship with us so we can know his heart. Many times, the only time we want to talk to God is when we're in trouble. Isn't that true? I mean, how many know you say there's all atheists? I think, Carl, you told me this one time that there's a bunch of atheists until they get in the foxhole, and then everybody believes in God. You know what I'm talking about? Your life's on the line, and boy, people get believing in God all awful fast. They begin to talk to God. When you're in trouble, all of a sudden you want to talk to God. People had no time for God all of a sudden when they go through a crisis or, God, I need you. that today we know this, that many times when we talk to God, that our motive is because we need an answer, we're in a crisis, we're needing help or something, we need direction for a certain decision we're making in our life. But God's motive has never been just about that. Yes, God wants to give us direction. Yes, God wants to help us through our crisis. Yes, God wants to give us the support that we need. But his motive for us has always been about relationship. God's motive for us communicating with him was just not for crisis, but was for a relationship. He says that he has called us what? Friends. Friends of God. Let me give you some things today about communication with the Father. Three things about being a friend of God. First of all, God does not speak to robots. Isn't that very clear? God does not speak to robots. Let me clarify what I mean by this. God did not make us machines. He has given us a free will to communicate with him. If he wanted to, God could have made us robots. He could have made us people who go around and say, yes, God, whatever you want, you know. Walking around. But how many know when it comes to our children, how many know if I make my children love me, is that really love? Get over here right now and give me a hug. I don't want to. I'm your father. Get over here and hug me. I don't want that. If you don't get over here right now, I'm going to bust you. Get over here right now. Oh, they may have hugged me, but did they really love me? I mean, come on. They're just doing it because I forced them to. Go hug your grandma and tell her goodbye. You know. I mean, if we force them to, is it really love? No, it's not, is it? But how many know when you've had a bad day and you come home and through the front door and your kids run up to you and say, Dad's home, and they hug you and they kiss you and talk to you only because they just want to and they missed you? How many know that? There's something about that. It's so true, isn't it? It's so pure. You love that love that comes from your children when you don't have anything returned. They're not doing it just because they want you to go out and buy them something that they had in mind, you know. I can tell when my 17-year-old is hugging me when she really wants something from Dad, you know. Oh, Dad. And she butters me up, you know. But when she just does it because Dad's home, there's no other reason. I know there's a difference between that. And all of our children, we sense that difference. If God wanted to, he could have made us what? Robots. He could have made us, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, God, hallelujah, all day long. But really, what kind of love is that? He gave us a free will of loving him. He gave us a free choice of loving him because that is true love. He gave us free choice of communicating with him because he wants us to choose to know him better. He wants us to choose a relationship with him. He wants us to choose out of our free will this ability to know him more. He could have made us robots, but he decided not to. You know, machines rule our lives, don't we? You know, you get behind your car the day to go home. What happens? Want to go forward, you give it gas, don't you? If you want to turn into the restaurant, you turn right or turn left or whatever. You give it directions. You control a machine. A machine does what you tell it to do. Machines don't talk to you, do they? Machines really don't talk back to you. Very few do. I remember my parents had a car when I was in high school, and it was one of the first cars that actually talked to you. Remember those cars? And this thing was such a moron car because if you had the door open, it would tell you, your door is ajar. I'm like, that door's not a jar, it's a door, you know? I just really couldn't figure that one out. Your door is a jar. Anyway, machines don't talk to us, it's machines. But we're not machines, we're not robots. We have the gifting within us to choose to communicate with our Heavenly Father. And so this is a blessing. And let me tell you this, this is such a funny story. I want to tell you, I'm going to read to you one of the funniest stories in the Bible. If you really look beyond what it's saying and really look at how it's being said. It's a long story, but I really want to read it to you in Genesis chapter 18. I really find this story very, very funny, as I do a lot of stories, but let's see it here. Let's pick it up in verse 20. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether or not they have done altogether according to the outcry against it. That has come to me, and if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and toward Sodom. There was a group of men who God was talking to about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wickedness of the city. They all turned away when they heard God say this. But look what it says. When they turned away, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, now, let me just stop right there. You want to learn how to hear the voice of God? When everybody else turns away, you go stand before the Lord. When everybody else leaves, you go stand and find a place before the Lord and draw near to him. It says that Abraham drawed near to the Lord
And this is what he asked God. God, would you also destroy the righteousness of the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy this place and not spare it for the 50 righteous people that were in it? And look at the statement of Abraham. Far be it from you. Talk about manipulating the Father against God. He thinks he's actually manipulating God here. Far be it from you, God, to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, Father. Far be it from you, God. I mean, you ever try to use psychology with God? I mean, isn't this a humorous thing? This is what he's doing here. He thinks he's actually using reverse psychology with God. Far be it from you. Shall you not judge all the earth to do right? So the Lord said, if I find Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I am but just dust and ashes. Look at reverse psychology. God, I'm just dust and ashes. I'm just a lowly being. I have no reason to talk to you this way, but God, I have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for a lack of 5? So he said, if they find 45, that's what God said, if I find 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose only 30 could be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30. I mean, you talk about a bidding. Earl, you couldn't have bid any better than this. You know, come on, I'm going to bid about a bit. He's bidding with the Lord. He starts off at 50. Now he's worked his way down to 30. And he has finished speaking with Abraham. Let me go back up top here. He turned slides when I turned my head. I didn't realize it. And he said, indeed now, I've taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20. He went from 30, now he's going to 20. 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. And then he said, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak out just one more time, God. We started with 50, the 45, the 30, the 20. I'm going to mind you guys. Right here, God, let me ask you this right here. Suppose only 10 could be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way, and as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Now, I love this conversation, because here we go. We see God say he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham goes, and he begins to bid with God. And we don't see the rest of the story as far as what happens in heaven right after this. But this is my take. I believe this to be 100% true. If you don't believe it, just throw it out, because this is just my opinion, okay? I believe that when God turned around, he looked at God the Son, the Father, he looked at the Holy Spirit, and he was like, can you believe this guy? He goes from 50, like I didn't know what he's doing, 50, 45, 30. I believe he chuckled. You know, I believe what God said this right here. You know what? I like that Abraham. I like Abraham. He started off at 50, got me all the way down to 10 just by talking. I like this guy. Me and Abraham, we can hang out. Me and Abraham, we could be friends. Because there was something real about Abraham. But Abraham wasn't afraid to talk to God just like he was talking to a friend. Abraham wasn't afraid to talk to God. He was doing it. He was trying to be humble, whether or not he thought he was humble or not. I'm just dust, God. I'm just a humble servant. But could you not? Please, just spare. If you can go 30, you can at least go 20, couldn't you? If you go 20, you can at least go 10, couldn't you? I mean, he's up there bargaining with God. And I find this so humorous, because if he had done this in the wrong spirit, you know, I believe God would have just smacked him aside his head. But it was the fact that he did it with such a pure heart. Such a communication heart. Abraham, you know, hey, God, I know I'm not supposed to be talking this way, but you think you could spare maybe if I could just find like 10 people who's righteous in the city? I mean, it's such a great story because it looks at the communication between us and the Father. And God really liked Abraham. And I believe it happened after this conversation that God was like, man, I really, really like this guy. And we find to our second point, God speaks to people. God speaks to people. In John 16, verses 12 and 13, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Who is the Spirit of truth? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. When we study the Holy Spirit, we know that when he speaks of he, the Spirit of the truth, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. For he who will not speak in his own authority, but whatsoever he hears, he will speak, and he would tell you things to come. So this is Jesus talking. What did Jesus say? He said, I still have many things to say to you. And the Holy Spirit's going to reveal them to you. And so when we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our life, when we are filled with God's Holy Spirit, we know this, that he is wanting to speak to us and has many things to tell us and has many things he wants to reveal to us. So the thought that God does not speak today is a very false thought. It's a very untrue. That God is still speaking. He has things he wants to say to you and I as his children. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you and I today if we are listening. He's speaking. God speaks to Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Jacob, Ruth, Deborah, David, Solomon, Elijah, Elisha. I mean, we see all through where God spoke to these guys in the Old Testament. How much more is he going to speak to us now that we are in the New Testament times when he's given us the Holy Spirit? If he spoke to these guys without the Holy Spirit being imparted, now he's imparted the Holy Spirit, how much more does he want to say? Well, I believe that God spoke so audibly, man, that these guys, it just heard it, you know, and it was just like they just couldn't deny it. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. I'll get to that more in just a minute. Does God speak? How much more is God wanting to speak to you and I? In Hebrews 11, it says this, by faith, we see the Hall of Fame listed in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, Noah, and by faith, Moses. These guys went out and did what God had laid upon their heart. By faith. You know, it doesn't take faith when you know something's 100% true, isn't it? It takes faith when you're stepping out and saying, God, I'm believing what you say is true. And it says, by faith, these men went out and did great things for God. And so I believe 100% in my heart that sometimes we picture, you know, the voice of God being so loud to these guys and that, you know, the handwriting was on the wall and it's right there. And I believe that often times in Scripture that when God spoke to somebody, he was speaking to their heart, that they were hearing God speak to them. And they had to step out on faith and do what God had asked them to do. It's no different than you and I. We'll keep waiting. God, I'm waiting for you to speak out loud. God, you make it clear, God. If I get up in the morning and take a shower and soap scum, it's rolled out what I should do, then God, I know you're speaking. And we have this, you know, thing. No, God wants to speak to our heart. He wants to speak to us. There's been some times in my life when God has spoken so clearly to my heart, it was like I was hearing it. It was just as clear as someone was sitting next to me talking to me. It was so strong in my heart, I knew that I'd be on a shadow of doubt that God was speaking to me. But it wasn't like the heavens opened up and a light shined down in my room and through my speakers came the voice of God. No, he was speaking to my heart. He was speaking to my spirit, and I was hearing it very clearly. And the more I have learned to tune in to my heart and tune into the spirit of God is speaking, the more clearly I'm able to hear him, the more often I hear him. And see, sometimes we think of this thing of God speaking to be this big, dramatic thing. We must follow him in faith. We must listen to him in faith. Number three, God speaks to friends. Not only does God speak to people, God speaks to friends. That's a good thing for you and I. God speaks to friends. Exodus 33:11 says this, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to what? His friend. James 2:23. And Scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and that he was called a friend of God. Wow. You and I are friends of God. We want God to call us friend. He wants to have that kind of relationship with you and I. God wants to communicate with you as a friend. Not just when you're in trouble. Not when you just need answers. Not when you just need direction. God wants to communicate to you as a friend. Who sticks closer than any brother. God wants to be your friend, not just your savior. He wants to have the open communication where you're able to say, God, this is what I'm going through in my life. This is who I am. This is my hopes. This is my dreams. This is my pain. This is my happiness. God, this is it. This is who I am. And he wants you to be quiet and listen as well. How many know if you have a friend, a good friend, and you do all the talking, that friendship dissolves pretty fast, doesn't it? If you have a good friend, or you take time, not only do you share what you're going through, but you shut up and you listen to what's being said by your other friend as well. You want to hear. And if you have one person who dominates that conversation, continuously, that person who's a good friend will eventually find another good friend who will listen to them. Okay, it's just the art of communication. When you have a good friend, it's give and take. You can share openly anything and feel like you can share that with them. At the same time, you got to be quiet and listen to their response and listen to what they're saying as well. And so having effective communication with God, becoming a friend of God, is not only me talking to him, but it's also tuning in and listening to what he's saying to me. Well, on Sundays, I feel like God's telling me this. Well, that's a start. It's a start. But how many know it's hard to have a best friend for just an hour once a week? I mean, you communicate. When I was getting to know my wife 18 years ago, we've been married today, you know, I spent hours on the phone talking to her. If I wasn't with her in college, I mean, wasn't together together physically, you know, be able to spend time together. If we were separated by lots of miles and summertime, sometimes we had to happen. We'd go home and have to work, and we lived about 70 miles apart, and I couldn't see her except on the weekends. I would spend hours at night talking to her. And that's back before we had the good rates. How many remember you used to pay 20, like 20 cents a minute for, you know, long distance? My dad would get the bill and be like, ah! I got the, here's the C-note, Dad. Takes care of it right here, you know. I remember paying a big price because I wanted to know her better. I wanted to hear her voice. I wanted her to hear me. I was willing to do what it takes. We were willing to do what it takes to communicate. It's the same relationship with the Father. He wants us to do what it takes to communicate and grow that relationship with him. You know how much God loves you? You know how much he wants to be your friend? He wants to be your friend way before you ever wanted to be his friend. It's very true. He wanted to be your friend before you wanted to be his friend. Look how Jesus responded to us. Look how Jesus responded to us. This is going to blow you away. Zechariah 13:6. Look what it says. And the one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? This is the prophecy about Jesus. They're going to say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? And then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. He's talking about those who crucified him. He said, I received these wounds in the house of my friends. He didn't say in the house of my enemies. He didn't say in the house of those who had a grudge against me. He didn't say in the house of those who false spoke about me. He said, I receive these wounds in the house of my friends. Matthew 26:48-50. Now his betrayer, talking about Judas. Now his betrayer had given him a sign saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. And immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? He didn't say to Judas, Judas, get out of here. Judas, you're such a traitor. He said, friend, why have you come? Can you imagine looking at your betrayer in the darkest of your hour, looking at your betrayer in the face and say, friend. That's what he did. He looked at Judas in his time of betrayal and called him friend. John 15:13. Greater love has no man than this, that to lay down his life for his friends. For his friends. God speaks to his friends. God wanted to be your friend long before you wanted to be his. He laid down his life. What's that mean? That means this, that some of you here today, you think, there's no way God could ever want to be my friend. Pastor, you have no idea the wrong I've done in my life. You have no idea the mistakes I've made in my life. God can never, he might forgive me, but he can never want to be my friend. You're so wrong. We see time and time again in Scripture where he says, friend. Friend to the betrayer. Friend to those who crucified him. Friend to lay down his life for those who didn't even want it. To those who rejected. He still loved them and called them friend. God is calling you and I friend today. But what do we call him? Is he just your Savior? Is he just your Lord? Or is he the friend who sticks us closer than any brother? The people who hear God the best are the people who know God the best. Let me say it again. The people who hear God the best are the people who know God the best. They have spent time talking to him and listening to his voice. I have certain friends who will call me on the phone, and maybe their phone number will show up blocked or unknown. And even though I don't know who I'm talking to as far as a number, when I pick up the phone and I hear them talk, usually within just a word or two, I can tell you who that is. because I recognize their voice. You see, that's the way it is with God. When God speaks to us, because we have spent so much time listening to him, we recognize his voice. The best moments I have with God are the memories when he's spoken to me in my darkest times. But not only through my darkest times, but I also have memories of him speaking to me in my great times. Memories of him speaking to me and confirming in his word things to me. I'm going to close with this statement. Write this down. This is your Facebook or tweet or statement of the day. I treasure his presence more than I treasure his presence. I treasure his presence more than his presence. I treasure his presence more than I treasure his presence. I just don't want gifts from him. I treasure being with him. I treasure hearing his voice. I treasure spending time with him. And when you grow in your communication with God and you want to learn to hear God's voice in your life, you got to learn to treasure that time spent with the Father. I value what you say to me. I value you listening to my prayers, and I value you speaking to my heart. And as I learn to treasure that time, as I learn to hear him and realize that he has called me friend, and he wants to develop that kind of relationship with me that's closer than any brother. A friend, not just the Savior, not just the Redeemer, but he calls us friend. It's powerful this morning when we move beyond and realize it's not about the salvation, it's about the relationship that makes a difference in our life with him. Let's bow our heads. This morning, I'm going to ask you this question with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you're here today and say, Pastor, you're talking about a relationship with the Father, being a friend of God. And I realize today that, man, I'm so far away from him. I'm so far from being in a right relationship with the Father. Today, I want to come home. Today, I want to ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Nobody's looking around but me. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way at all, but I want to give you a chance if you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm ready to make a decision to follow after Christ. I want to ask him to be Lord and Savior in my life. And today, I'm ready to make a life-changing decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to step into a new friendship with him, a new relationship with him. If that's you here today and say, Pastor, I'm ready, can you just raise your hand where you're at? That's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these people today? Say, I'm ready to make a decision to follow after Christ today. Raise it high where I can see it. Nobody's looking but me. I want to make sure you have the opportunity. Anybody else here today? Say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Thank you. Thank you. Today we're going to say this prayer, especially those who raise your hands, but we're all going to say it with you today. We're going to repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. All of my sin, I give it to you. All of my dreams, I give it to you. All of my pain, I give it to you. Everything I am from this day forward belongs to you. I will serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you said that prayer, they believed it. Let's give them a hand clap. Yeah, welcome to the family of God. Now, if you said that prayer today, it's just a start. Just a start of a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's just a start. And before you leave today, if you'll stop by our information center back in the back, we'll get a free Bible and some other things to tell you what to do next in your life. And so make those steps. You need to, if you don't have a church home, get involved in a church home. We'd love to have you here. Be around people who will love you and support you and help you support yourself. Stand on your feet this morning. How many know we can't preach a message called I Am the Friend of God without closing with this song? Now, come on. Today, I want you to hear this song in a new and fresh way that God has called you friend. And he wants to be a friend that's this closer to any brother in you. And today, that gives you a reason to celebrate. That's a new hope in your life, that you're not abandoned. Not only are you forgiven, but you have a relationship with the Father. It gets one-on-one. It's a personal relationship that's going to be closer than any brother. Today, that's the freedom we have in our Christ. That's the freedom we have, a relationship with a friend of God. I am a friend. Come on, let's sing it.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? Oh, how you love me. It's amazing. Who am I, Lord?
Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me
when I call.
When I call. Thinking of me,
how you love me,
how you love me.
It's amazing,
it's amazing,
so amazing,
it's amazing.
Oh,
I'm a friend of God.
Come on, put your hands together in the place.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Us friends, come on, sing it with us. Sing, God Almighty,
God Almighty,
Lord of glory,
Lord of glory,
you still call us
you
friends.
You have called me friend.
Come on, point at yourself and say, God calls me friend. Come on, sing, God Almighty,
God Almighty,
Lord of glory,
Lord of glory,
you still call
you
me friend.
We're glad to be called a friend of God. Amen. Man, we're so glad that today you're here. I'm going to have Justin come and dismiss us in a word of prayer. Remember, before you leave today, those of you who are staying, man, we're going to have some chili and some hot dogs, whatever they have back there, a pie auction going, immediately following the service. Stay and support them if you can. We definitely appreciate that. Justin closes out the word of prayer today.
God, we are so excited this morning, God, that you've called us friend, God. Lord, you've not called us an enemy, God. You've not called us a servant or a slave. But you've called us friends, God, and we rejoice in that fact this morning, God. Lord, because being friends, God, we have access to your wisdom, God, We have access to your knowledge, and most importantly, we have access to your presence and to your love, Lord Jesus. And we thank you so much, God. But Lord, we pray, God, that as we go forth, God, Lord, that the fact that we're friends, God, would weigh on our hearts, God, and that we would love to share your friendship with everyone that we come into contact with, God. Lord, we love you, God. Lord, we rejoice in your presence, God. And we thank you again for another blessed day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.